Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. It's the after show for The Real Housewives of Orange County, Season 11, Episode 3, Lies in the Air, Sand in My Hair, and Hexagonal Ice in Our Cups. Let the ranting begin, and let's buzz right now for OC.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Hey. The best.
This has nothing to do with anything besides the fact that we love this jam.
I'm thinking about using this song. We're listening to the new Fergie song here at AfterBuzz TV, but we are getting ready to talk all about the OC ladies. Some, arguably some MILFs in their own right.
Yes.
I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and we're getting ready to talk with Christy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Christy Olsen, and you can always hit me up at Christy Reports. Let me know what you're jamming to.
Hey, guys. I'm Thomas Rulina. You can find me at Thomas Rulina on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook.
Oh, all right. Let's talk about tonight's show. We're glad to be back with you to discuss episode 3. We were just getting our feet wet with 1 and 2, and it was like, wait a minute, now it's 4th of July weekend. So, like, now we're back, and we're good to go till like, Thanksgiving.
Right? So, we are ready. We are locked
here
in
for
now.
You. We're here for you. So, let's talk about the beginning of the show with Brianna getting ready to move back. She's separating from her husband only in states. You know, they're still together, but now they're making this move, and he's going to stay back and sell the house, and she's kind of like a single mom now, moving back to the OC, and she says that she's going there for doctors to help her. There's better medical care, the ones that she went to growing up, and then she later on admits she's moving back because of her mom, too. That's equal half and half, it sounds like. What do you think of Brianna's situation? It was tough tonight.
It was tough to see her in pain like that. It's really hard because you've seen her struggles throughout the years, and to see it on the episode, I was kind of worried that Vicky wasn't going to take the wheel at some point. I was like, we need...
Literally take the wheel.
Yeah, but I'm glad when we saw them get to Orange County, she was driving. But yeah, it was really hard to see her in pain like that.
Yeah. You know, I loved to hear from her that she and Vicky went right back to their typical mother-daughter relationship that we've been used to seeing them have for almost a decade before Brooks came along. So that was really sweet. It's good to know that she's got Vicky there for her again. And, you know, maybe she doesn't miss Ryan so much because she's got those two little mini-me's right there. Like, she's got to look at the
adorable
kids. They look exactly like him.
They look just
she should
like
be
him.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, she's a nurse, so I trust whatever she says medically. And she said she has an 8 out of 10 pain. Anyone that goes to an urgent care, that's always like the first question they ask. So for a nurse to admit, like, she's not being dramatic, she knows what an 8 to 10 means, she must have really been uncomfortable. And it was hard to watch her, but we love her on the show. I think we all love Brianna, so it's sad to see. I thought that her health issues were behind her, but it sounds like they're very much in the present day. She has an active infection, and as soon as she got back to the OC, she went right to the hospital.
After 20 hours, I mean, that was a long car ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the best thing for her to be doing in that situation, but she wanted to get her babies back home to what she considers to be home.
Right.
I was living for the flashback, though, like just seeing how Vicky and her relationship is back, like what you were saying, back to normal. It's nice that, you know, they were able to overcome that with ease.
Oh, yeah, when they brought up that Europe trip, that to this day is pretty much all I've ever seen of Europe. And I think I probably ever will. Like, that's what I think when I think of Italy. I think of them, like, sitting at the table. Remember, they were trying to order stuff. Like, oh, I love those flashbacks.
Yeah. I love this show for that. There's so many flashbacks that we, and I like that they use that. So we mentioned that last episode. So hopefully we can see more of that. Let's flash over to Shannon. Her house is in escrow. She says this is not the first time that it's been in escrow and that she is looking forward to making a fresh start with her family and getting a new place. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think of things. You know, you have random flashbacks. You're like, oh, he left, my husband left somebody else's house to come into the bed in this bedroom. Like, it's just hard to be able to, like, you know, really move past certain things when you're in that space. And it does represent a certain time in your life, I think, when you live in certain places. Mm-hmm. There are certain apartments that represent just horrible times for me that I would never want to be in. So, yeah.
Well, we certainly can understand that. And I think in this situation, people are going to be quick to be like, oh, we're downsizing. Yeah. Oh, why are we moving into a smaller house? Oh, she's talking about the economy and the crash. But, you know, that house that they had was monstrous. Remember, it was two kitchens, Jesus. One for the parties and then this and that. Yeah. And, you know, if they're making a reasonable decision as a family to downsize at this point because that's what they need to do, minus sense. The drama, yeah, it really does on a lot of on a lot of planes.
And if it has to do with money, who cares? Everybody has to move in different directions in life. I mean, they've got three girls that are likely all going to go to expensive colleges. Mm-hmm. They live in a very expensive area. Who cares? I don't think that they're going to be losing their home. Like, they're fine. Like, I don't know. Everyone's got an opinion. I kind of like that. In the first episode, she said, yeah, some people are going to say that it's a financial issue. Like, she just she put addressed it out there. It right
then. Yep. She doesn't care either. No. Which is so kind of something. The rest of the housewives are always showboating. And Shan just sort of like, yeah, I have this big crazy house and now I'm going to get a smaller one. Not a big deal.
I think what happened in her marriage really changed her as a person, too. It's just like, you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what people think. It matters what's happening in my life. Mm-hmm. So I get that vibe from her.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly is preparing for a dinner that she's going to go to for the first time without Megan. It's the first time she's going to be with the girls, and she was really nervous. Would you feel nervous going? I mean, I feel like on the surface, no, but when you think about the cameras being there and everything.
Yeah, I'm glad Megan didn't go, to be honest with you, because it's nice to see, you know, the original housewives, you know, really take on the new housewife, to just see how she is. I mean, if you're going to have your wingman in the corner every time, you're not going to really shine as a main person on the show, so... I was happy she didn't know,
stripes.
Actually.
Yeah.
And I think Kelly sort of felt like she was walking into a bit of a lioness's den because she knew that the news that she had had lunch with Vicky didn't go over well with the girls last time. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of still dealing with that, and Heather didn't know. You know, she knows we still have to go and tell Heather that she had lunch with Vicky. OMG.
And I even forgot about that. I was like, oof. Okay.
Like, right? Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, so Heather learns that she had lunch, and then Shannon tells Kelly that Vicky wasn't duped because Kelly really seemed to defend her. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly seemed very empathetic, of course, and Heather's advice was to stay away from the whole situation. And then you've got Shannon going, hashtag victim, hashtag victim. So Shannon will never let it go, and I don't really blame her. I mean, this whole situation is so screwed up. We'll get into the details with Tamara later, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still Team Vicky, but...
Well, I think we'll be flashing back to that lunch quite a bit in the future because I look at it as sort of the beginnings of rumblings between Shannon and Kelly. Or, I'm sorry, Heather and Kelly. You know, it really seemed like Heather was just trying to be patient with Kelly. Kelly got a little bit liquored up pretty quick. Yeah. Even before the ladies came to the table, you could tell in her speech that she was feeling pretty good. And when she interrupted Heather, and Heather was just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, you can talk now. It felt very Heather Dubrow. Yes. And I think she's not going to continue to hold her tongue with Kelly.
I like how they're pinning her down as the girl who is drinking a lot. There's always that housewife storyline, like, she's having a few too many shots and too many cocktails. Yeah. And Kelly just happens to be that person this season.
Mm-hmm. So, we love a lushy housewife.
Yeah. Yeah, and another one with a bad marriage, you know? Just, that's the makeup of these shows.
I mean, even the other ladies are talking about it. Stay tuned for news and gossip.
Okay, well. So, Tamara, she's still finding Jesus and finding her spiritual existence. And God bless her. But she's met Mia, who came into her life. And this is her trainer and therapist. And Tamara's still pretty thrown off about all the relationships in her life. I don't blame her. I mean, everything seems to be a little upside down. Mm-hmm. Tamara always has a storyline, though. We've said this before. Always. And, the only advice that Mia could give her was to keep praying on things, mm-hmm. which, you know, I could really kind of relate to certain things that Mia did tell her about letting things go and putting things in God's hands. I was in a recent situation in my own life where I had to do that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, my life is so much better for doing that. So I really do believe in that. But, it's tough when you see people around you. This was all me. Yeah. But it's tough if I had children that were suffering and lousy relationships, then it's real. I mean, you know, I can't really totally relate to her. But, yeah, I mean, I think we'd all like to see things improve, and there's more to come.
That's what I like about Tamra this season. I feel like she's, you know, she's really focused, she's finding a new passion, and I feel like every season that we've seen her, she's always a little upset, and just her vibe is so different, and on this season, it's like, you know, at the end, how she was nice with Vicky, I felt like we're seeing a different side to Tamra, too, after everything that she's gone through.
Yeah, and I think we were all a little hesitant to buy this whole I'm a Christian now storyline thing last season with the baptism was very showy. But now the fact that she's kind of sticking to it, see that it's become this positive force in her life, it makes me, like, want to go to church a little bit, right? I'm like, hey, if it works for Tamra Judge, maybe we can all do it.
Yes, let's go together.
Yes! I love it.
Now, I want to ask you guys, how do you make a pizza at your house?
Oh, my God.
if you were just to, say you were hungry for pizza, how would you go about doing it? For me, it's a CPK, and it's in an oven 40 minutes later, and that's it.
Yep, PapaJohns.com. Okay. Cheeseless is vegan.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you
go. Not with a $7,500 barbecue grill.
No, you wouldn't have to install one.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay. Not relatable.
Maybe next year, Thomas.
Heather is thinking about getting this grill, and really the only one that's going to use it is a chef. She doesn't even eat pizza, but she has to have it. But yet, in the next breath, she's complaining that it's going on too long setting up this house. I know it was like editing, and we're making it look like Heather's being ostentatious, which she is, which she can be, and I love that she is. But, I mean, you know. Whatever. I mean, it's housewives. Whatever. Sure. Get your oven. I love it.
That's her role. That's her role in the show. She just has to be over the top. And that's why we love Heather, is that there's no other housewife that's going to be... I mean, these are her issues.
Yeah. We can picture Shannon going, hashtag rich people problems.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing how sometimes on the housewives, just there's always one that just kind of has really no issues. Everybody else is riddled with problems and money issues and relationships. And then there's always one that can just, I don't really have anything to complain about. God, that's who I want to be.
Yes.
And more power to her for acknowledging that and not being the kind of person who gets bored and makes problems in her life.
Yes.
Or who makes a mountain out of a molehill because she's got the time to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, her storyline forever will be Terry works too much. I mean, that's it.
Heather's life is goals.
Yes.
Agreed. So Kelly invited Vicky and Brianna to her beach party, and I felt like, oh, if only she knew what Brianna was going through, she probably wouldn't have invited her, you know, because then it puts people in an awkward situation with, like, do I come? How do I say, she can't make it? Because they don't know the reality. They don't know that she has the IVs, you know, on in her arm, and it's just not even likely that she would go. And then, so let's talk a little about this party. We're just buzzing through it, but this is all the good stuff right here. I question if this is really in Kelly's backyard. It isn't, because I don't know.
Did that parking lot throw you off, Grant?
Yeah. Perhaps all the signs, all the rules. And then I've been to OC beaches with bonfires and stuff like that. And I think that's like part of like Huntington or one of those official like cement, like caution, like do not step or touch or anything like that. So it's not like this is like in her backyard, like Lizzie's Laguna house. Yeah. She was literally like on the ocean, you know.
Oh, Lizzie.
I miss Lizzie. Right?
I forgot about her.
But I am not hating on this woman's house. Just all of you are getting ready to leave a comment. I am not jealous. I'm just saying she made the effort to say that it was in her backyard. When I mean, you know, she has beach access, it's wonderful, but that's, you know, state-owned beach, but it still looked okay. The event was little, I mean, I expected some tents.
Well,
maybe like
said,
an open bar.
This is a
bar.
Beautiful party, and they pan to a shot of a picnic table with like a couple signs on it. You go,
thank
this is
you.
Not quite what we're used to.
Yeah.
Is what
amen.
It is.
Yes. Amen. We're not in Beverly Hills.
I did like the food, though. I have to say, the food was on point.
Yeah.
The catering was on point.
They were eating some pokey or something.
I just wanted to see how Heather would do it. I feel like Heather would have like shirtless men, like a glass bar, like a sculpt. Sure, like something happening, you know. I mean, but it was cute, and you know, I would actually enjoy a little something like that, you know, like hanging out on the beach for a good time. So I'm not being too judgy, but I'm just I don't know, who cares what I think. So Megan felt the need to bring her refrigerated shot with her. Why? Like, is she babysitting them? Like, is it that important to her? I don't understand. Why would you ever need to bring it to the... It's not like she had a moment where she had to stop to do it. I assume she had to.
I think she did. She probably did.
But it wasn't on the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're kind of working this storyline, I think, as something to make Megan look a little ridiculous, maybe? You know, the 11 minutes elapsed time in that first scene, too, when she's afraid of the needles. And normally this is something that I would really hate. You know, I can't really relate to wanting a baby that bad, and I'm like, well, go adopt one then. For some reason, this is making Megan kind of lovable to me. Like, she was so proud of herself after she got the shot in, and she was so excited
about the fact that she had to bring the
shots. That it's sort of like, yeah, this should be ridiculous, but you know what? Okay, Megan.
I'm actually really happy for her. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that do IVF and, you know, try, and this is playing out on TV, and for her to, you know, be carrying a child now is just, it's so great. I feel like it gives a lot of people out there that are struggling with this, you know, the want to just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just want to
bring those shots to the barbecue.
Yes. I just want to make sure she's got more going on, though. I mean, you know, we need a little. You know, that's one thing, but there's also several other things. You know, it's a long season, so let's see. You know?
She needs to get in a fight with somebody. Just saying. Yes.
Pretty sure with those hormones raging, it'll happen. So, just saying.
Vicky arrives to this music. I mean, you might think, like, you know, the Crypt Keeper is coming across.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom, boom, boom. And she walks out on this black car. And she's very impressed by the spread. She's very impressed. She's a little bit up Kelly's ass. Can we agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So she's there, and she walked all over the place with her shoes on. And the first thing she says in her interview was that Kelly is the kind of girl that would have brought me a casserole. This girl already is winning points. Like, she's winning points by doing nothing but literally walking to the town beach. But okay. No, I love it. I'm such a bitch. Vicky is not talking with Shannon. Shannon isn't talking with Vicky. But Tamara's talking. And, you know, Thomas, you mentioned it earlier. They had this moment. And, you know, a lot of things were said. Vicky, basically, here in the footnotes, she says that she's still, you know, she still feels like she has still healing and that she has to, you know, she still misses her friends. But then she says, well, that goes both ways.
Yeah.
So there's, like, the first, like, you know, like shot at Tamara. So Tamara's like, well, what the hell does that mean? And then Vicky says that Tamara wasn't there for her and that she turned away from her and she didn't understand the situation. And Tamara kept her cool.
Yeah.
She kept her composure. She could have said, like, is your ass jealous of the shit that comes out of your mouth?
That's yes! what I feel is gone. That Tamara is gone. I feel like we're seeing a new Tamara.
She's in there. She's still in there.
She is, but she's a little bit more on the reserve side. But I feel like she did try. Remember, she was reaching out to Brianna. They did everything that they could, and I feel like Vicky just wants to forget those times that people wanted to help her. It's just such a messy situation.
Well, and we've seen Vicky and Tamara go back and forth before. They've been in knockdown, drag-out fights before. And this time, Tamara held her own and really stood up for herself and didn't let Vicky steamroll over her or convince her or bring other people into it and change the conversation. I mean, this was really the first time where I felt like this was two equal women going up against each other, not, you know, Vicky manipulating Tamara.
I feel like because Vicky doesn't have anybody in her corner right now, and Kelly's not there going to go over there and try to have this, you know.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened.
Tamara's upset that she just will not admit to lying, and Vicky says that she believed her man and that Tamara would believe in Eddie and all that. And then, yeah, like you said, Tamara's like, look, leave other people out of it. This is not what we're here to talk about. So in an interview, in her one-on-one interview, Tamara said that Vicky's like the older sister you just don't want. That's kind of a tough one. How do you like build a relationship on that?
Now, I don't have any siblings, so I can only kind of gesture as to what she really means. Anyone have an older sister?
I do have an older sister.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like that was a harsh comment, but she's just trying to... It's just playing it up for the cameras, too, at some point. So.
Yeah.
It was like a soundbite.
Yeah. Well, Tamara, she just wants Vicky to be honest, and Vicky says that they all just wanted to bring her down. There's another jab.
We collectively groaned when she said that.
And Tamara said, no, I was like, you know, I was actually worried about you. So is Brianna. That's why we had these conversations. We were worried about you. And then Vicky was like, well, yeah, you should have been. You were right to be. You were right to be nervous of the situation. He wasn't a good guy. And so it's like, well, okay, so are we on the same page or what? And then, Vicky says that what she did was wrong and that, you know, she believes that they saw something in him. What she believes she did wrong was she did not believe that the lady saw something in Brooks. That I believe that's what she said. So it was very confusing, but it was something like what she did wrong was she didn't follow what the ladies were saying about Brooks.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to see Vicky with a new man.
I'm ready to stop talking about Brooks.
Yes. Let Brooks be the past and just let's just all move on from it. Yeah, but she has to go around to all the other women, and I can't wait for that. It was so mean girl status. Like, as soon as, like, it's literally everybody's side eye turning around being like, oh, ooh, she's here.
Yeah.
And it was a good episode.
I love when they cut to Shannon because they were like, well, because Tamara's like, well, you need to talk with the other women. And they cut to, like, the women in the
group.
They're
like 3 feet away. Yeah.
And Shannon was there and she's like, we just need to make an effort. And I was like, well, I wonder who she's talking about. I wonder. It was just like, it could have been any, like, clip that they could have pulled. Yeah. But you know Shannon's sitting there the entire time talking about Vicky. And because she's like dying to like clue in Kelly on all these things. But it's like sometimes just too much happens. You really can't, like, if you say, like, I hated someone here and I tried to get you on like the same page with me and tried to explain things, like, you wouldn't feel the same way because you don't have the same history. You don't know anything. You don't even know who that person is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they're never going to get Kelly to be on that same page with her because Kelly feels like they're kindred spirits in certain ways. So,
yeah.
And I think to a point, if you continue to do that with someone, it reflects on yourself. Like if the other ladies keep telling Kelly, "Oh, you know, you don't want to get you don't want to get in a mess with Vicky. Like you don't want to be friends with her. She lied to all of us." It will eventually start reflecting on the ladies and her being like, "Well, you guys keep talking all this crap. Like she's the one who's being nice to me.
She's not saying anything about you.
And I feel like it entices that person to want to get to know the person more. That's just how it always is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't talk to this person. It's going to make that person want to talk to that person.
You're like, why? Are they interesting?
I know.
Well, I want to know the drama.
Yes.
Well,
all the shade.
Vicky starts to cry and asks for forgiveness from Tamara yet again. And Tamara accepts. And if anyone knows what's going on currently, we know that Tamara and Vicky are back on the outs, and Tamara says how much she regrets accepting that apology. So I can just imagine Tamara watching that scene being like, you idiot, you know? But, things are not good between those two again. And you know that as we peel back the orange of season 11, we will get there. We will get there. But, so for the time being, let the Andalays begin again. You know what I mean? Like it's like
a hamster wheel.
Yep. I mean, you know, a friend of mine who watches the show just didn't want to watch the season because he knew this was going to happen, and we knew that things were going to fall off again at the reunion, and it is kind of tiring. I wish these women would just pick a position.
Yeah.
And stick with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough because you've got the show and you have to film together. And you have history, but I mean, you can also be friends at arm's length. Like, Heather's in the best place with Vicky. And, you know, she's not inviting her over, you know, to hang out. They're able to have conversations and shoot together. They could probably travel together, but they're not. They each know each other. Like, they each have an eye on each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think we'll ever get to the point with reality TV production and stuff where we're seeing things in real time? Like, I know
that's
with
the
timing and sometimes they shoot things and they put them together that are months apart. But if they could make it so good that we could see it every week, the things that just happened with the ladies this last week.
Well, that is the future. And there are some shows that shoot at least, like, within the last 3 weeks of each other.
I need that with my housewives.
Yeah. And
Make it happen, Bravo.
Yep. And I think that is what's going to create buzz for these shows to continue to survive. Like, what they need to do is they need to get a show like Dallas or like even Miami. Like, they tried a couple different things with that to try to get that to work, but they need to experiment with that production style with one of these cities that they can take a gamble on.
Yeah,
you know, and just try it out. Don't do New York or Beverly Hills because
don't
touch
those originals.
Yeah.
Please.
But like, even like something like Potomac, like I think those would be good ones to see and try that production schedule. Of course, you know, you've got people ordering a certain amount of episodes, and you have to have network notes and that people, you know, like these story producers have to put together arcs and, you know, they need to have those phony things at the end, like, Tamara's buying a new house. Don't ask how much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they need to ask these things, but yeah, they need to figure that out.
Some kind of a way to capitalize on the real time, the day-to-day news headlines of Vicky and Tamra tearing each other apart in interviews. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see behind the scenes of.
I mean, even with the New Jersey Housewives, you know, Teresa coming out of prison. No, she came out of prison on December 23rd. We're in July. I mean, come on, you know. I understand it takes a while to put these shows together and I work in television. I completely get it. But 7 months?
Yeah, I read that headline. I thought the headline was wrong. I was like, we're just seeing that on the show? That she's out of prison? Wow.
Yeah. And they need to figure out. There are some shows that tape a little closer. But that is the future, and it must be a headache for a production team to
put together. Hey, the first ones to figure it out are going to be making that money.
Exactly.
I would put mine on Ryan Seacrest Productions, actually. Really? Maybe the first ones to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The king of reality.
I think they need to do something, especially with these ladies. I'd love to be able to be a little bit more in real time with them. Because when the shows start, for the most part, they've wrapped production. So it's all said and done. And that's why the reunions, that's the one thing. It would take the wind out of the sails of the reunions if it was a little bit more up to date, I think.
That is true.
Because there wouldn't be as much to reveal, you know?
You know what show, you brought up Ryan Seacrest Productions? I see them doing that with, Rob and Black China show. Like, they could tie that in.
And they almost have to because of baby and wedding and things that are going to happen in a timely manner. Yeah.
We're giving all these ideas out.
Yeah. Are you watching, Ryan? Come on now. I know you're not that busy anymore. Tune us in.
I know. We're coming up with a lot of things. I want to see a new era of Housewives a little bit. Like, you know, things have to grow and evolve, and there's so many cities now, and we're on season 11 of the original. So, you know, I think that there's different things to do. Just our thoughts. But we want to know yours, of course, too. So please feel free to leave us some comments below. What do you think of this Vicky Tamra makeup and breakup and on again, off again thing? Leave us a comment below and give us a thumbs up, because there's no reason not to. We're giving you free content, and there's plenty of shows to watch. So it's very simple. And let's talk a little bit about some news and gossip.
Yeah, let's do it. We do have a little update on Vicky and Tamra. But first, let's talk about the Housewives marriage curse, which Heather Dubrow believes is alive and well. And she thinks, surprise, surprise, that Kelly Dodd and her husband will be the next to fall victim to said Housewives curse. She gave an interview this week, and she called Kelly and Michael's marriage the typical Housewives marriage. And she says comparing your husband to Hitler, as Kelly did last week, is unforgivable. And she hints at some major drama that's going to come in the future between Heather and Kelly. So she kind of wraps up this interview with this quote, which is just shade. She said, Kelly is certainly not like anyone we've had in our group before, and I'm being delicate. So we all know that's about as nasty as Heather Dubrow gets, but I like it. And meanwhile, the explosive details from Kelly's divorce proceedings that never actually went through continue to leak out. There were some court documents that came out from 2014 this week that reveal domestic violence allegations actually against Kelly by Michael that he made, and he actually filed for a restraining order against her after that incident. This all happened they filed for divorce in 2012. This incident was in 2014, and they reconciled shortly thereafter. So a lot of drama there, and we are learning about all of it on the internet. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a tight connection between them two. Let's just be real. I don't see it at all.
But why would you choose to go on a reality show when that is your history with your marriage?
That was part of what Heather said. She said, you know, a lot of these women hop onto the show at a time when their marriage is in trouble to try to get something for themselves. Or, you know, they think maybe if the cameras are there, everyone will have to act like everything's okay. So it's interesting that you say that, because Heather touched on that as well. But one couple that is making it work, I think you guys will be happy to hear this.
Let's hear it.
Ryan and Sarah spent the 4th of July together. They posed for photos with Ava, and Sarah actually posted a photo on Instagram of her hand wearing her old engagement ring. It was on the wrong hand, wrong finger, but she was very clearly indicating, I've got this ring on, here we are together, we're trying to make it work.
That's good, I'm happy for them.
You have to just be an adult at a certain point. You don't need to be engaged, but you can at least have family events together. I'm glad.
Well, at least, like, their only issues are Instagram and, like, social media issues, so those can be fixed.
Yeah, maybe they've gotten it straightened out.
Yeah.
So good for them. We're happy to hear that. And now the update on Vicky and Tamra. Last week I told you all how they were going back and forth. They both wanted each other fired, this and that. Well, in typical Vicky fashion, she's, you know, turning around a little bit. She gave an interview just, I think, yesterday it was, and she now says she loves Tamra. She wants to continue filming with Tamra, and she actually thinks that Vicky and Tamra should have their own spinoff. Vicky says, quote, "We don't need the other girls."
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, last week they were trying to destroy each other, and now this week maybe they've decided that's not such a good idea.
Tamra made a post, though, and I think she pulled up from Real Mr. Housewife. And she put it up there, and she's like, "I will not fall into anything this woman does ever again. I've been right about her all along." Like, she's like, "I've taken enough abuse as a friend. Like, nobody should be in these types of relationships." She's like, "I've had enough of this." Like, she basically called it done. And that was about 2 weeks ago.
Cancel that spinoff, ladies.
So I don't know what you're smoking, Vicky, but this girl has nothing to do with you, and you're ready to sign up for a show.
Yeah, it sounds like typical Vicky backpedaling, right? And being sorry.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
Instead of saying, "You know what? I was wrong, Tamra, and I'm sorry. Let's just do our own spinoff."
Yeah.
We need a Real Housewives All-Stars where we pick all the housewives that never apologize. Who wasn't never apologize and put them all on one show.
This is turned into a boardroom with just all ideas.
Yes.
This is literally.
But could you imagine, like, Lisa Vanderpump and this jerk, Vicky?
No.
And I love Vicky.
Those two should go together.
But yeah, those two. And then just have someone who's a good shitster, like Gina, Keo. Who's someone else, even from another city, like a Kenya Moore?
Like a Kenya Moore. Yeah. A Ramona singer.
But that, like, have them, like, light a fire and then just watch what happens. Now that's what we want to watch what happens.
There we go. Yes. Well, just one more little tidbit.
Yeah.
You saw last week the ladies all destroying Megan's kitchen. She was excited about this new house that she bought. Well, that house is already on the market.
Oh,
Megan and Jim are
selling
that home.
No.
Maybe for the baby. Maybe they need a nursery. Who knows? Oh. But it was, and we were wondering this a couple weeks ago. It was 5,000 square feet in Newport Beach. They listed it for $3.4 million and paid, so this was just about a year ago, $2.8 million for it. Now, Megan continues to post photos on Instagram like, "Oh, I love my kitchen and here's my backyard. I love it all." And it seemed like more continuation of the storyline of this house that she finally felt was her own. But clearly, she's just trying to, you know, get the home sold. So I don't know if they think they're Juliana and Bill Rancic or what the heck. But these two keep buying up homes and selling them. And they must be, I'm clearly making some money off of it. Yeah. So get ready for that baby.
Yeah. Well, once you have a baby, though, you can't keep doing all that.
That's true.
I mean, you can buy homes, but you can't keep moving out of them. You know, like, you can keep doing it on the side, but...
I kind of miss the Megan from season 10. That was, like, a little of the, you know, troublemaker, and now she's just kind of doing her IVF stuff. I kind of miss that Megan.
I need way
You think she's going to come out this season?
I need so much more.
Yeah, she's going to need to do some more stuff.
Well, that's the thing. We really don't know what the rest of the storyline is. We know there's that dune buggy accident, but what? Where is this all leading?
Yeah.
There's something on a boat that gets crazy with Heather and Kelly. But other than that,
I know that Heather doesn't like her because we were talking about her on Grant's Rants, and she was saying that she there was rumors, and there was a thing that Kelly had said that she doesn't know any black people or something like that. There was something that alluded to her being like a racist, allegedly.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And they asked Heather about it on a carpet, and Heather said, "I have no room in my life for racists." So,
did not try to dispute that Kelly is a racist or stand up for Kelly in any way. Wow. Mm-hmm.
You could see them butting heads. They have the two bombest houses on the show. Of course they're going to be, they're going to have that, like, you know, rivalry.
Oh yeah. And Heather's like,
I'm glad,
the poised, posh, wealthy woman. And Kelly's like the let it all hang out bar in every floor. I mean, they couldn't be any more different.
We need Heather to have an adversary on the show. Now that she's good with Shannon, we need that.
Yes.
Agree.
Well, let's take a moment and predict, since we're already kind of talking about what we want. Let's talk about what we think is coming up. Well, I think that, my prediction.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Before this episode wrapped, I wrote at the top, I was like, I know, because Tamra went through all these things. She was like, oh, my relationship with my daughter is terrible. My relationship with my son and his wife, or it's my son and Sarah is bad. And then Vicky. So I thought for sure she was going to say that to Vicky. That was my prediction, that she was going to say that to Vicky and go through the list of, like, you know, you're the only relationship I can really salvage and have control over right now. So I thought that was going to be how she would justify it. But I guess she's just going for it anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know what was really interesting? They made it seem like such a big deal for Heather's husband to kiss Kelly on the lips or on the cheek, and nothing happened there. So that might be something that Andy would bring up during the reunion. So I feel like, and they're not the best of friends either on the show. Like, you see them kind of looking at each other from a distance. Mm-hmm. So my prediction is I'm definitely see them at some point having some words with each other.
That was one of our predictions that fell flat. When they showed that on the preview for, like, the coming up after the course, we were like, oh, here we go. Yeah. And it did not materialize. So, yes, maybe, something between Shannon and Kelly. I don't know. I can't even make gestures at this point. I think we'll see a Heather get a little bit hotter than we've seen her before. And all that stuff with the drama between her and Terry, I think, is going to be nothing.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. They're fine. They're cool. They're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're fine.
The money's rolling in. They're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe Brianna and Ryan will begin to have a little bit of trouble with the distance.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not, but yeah.
I hope not too, but you never know.
Shannon and Vicky have a moment, but that's not going to go anywhere. That's my prediction. I mean, Shannon's just not going to bother. Like, it's not that easy for Shannon to be like, have one conversation after months of silence and then be like, yeah, all right, not going
to
happen.
And they always try to make it seem like they're patching things up in their one-on-one interviews, and then when they're in the reunion, it's everything just rehashes all over again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's why we like Housewives.
Yeah.
Why we love Housewives.
Yeah, and Brianna's now, I thought things are bad enough, but now she's going to be rushed to the hospital. She said that she was going to pass away. So, I mean, you know, we know that Brianna is alive, thankfully. But, you know, it's just, it's going to be a dramatic episode for sure next week. So you can tweet us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter, social media, and all that good stuff. Thomas, where can we find you?
You guys can find me at Thomas Erlina on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook.
Right, and guys, please hit me up Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram at Christy Reports, and please also subscribe to my YouTube channel, Christy Reports, and watch Hollywood 911 Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on Reels.
Nice. You guys can find me over on Twitter at Grants_Rants, and you can find me on my podcast, Grants Rants Hollywood Talk. That'll do it for us, for the OC ladies. We'll see you with the next episode coming up.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.